thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
So good to be here in the house of the Lord, and seem like I'm here every day in Colorado. Colorado considered home for me. Actually, that's the only home I have in the world, in Aurora, but I never live there. Actually, I live on my luggage. That's my whole bedroom. So I'm all over. And it's just so good to be here, and it was so good to spend some time, like 3 days at the school, Faith Academy. I was enjoying talking to high school kids out there. And the good news, that one of a Thai exchange student who was, kind of refused to hear the gospel and finally gave his life to the Lord. So just last week, so praise the Lord. Yeah, God is good. One of the Bible teacher in the school is coming to me, very passionate for this particular student. She was tear in her eye, saying, is there a way you can talk to this kid? Because he just say, I'm Buddhist. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I say, well, God have his way. It's not you, it's not me. I don't know how to talk to him, but the Holy Spirit can. So we did, and God is good. Well, tonight I'm just talking simple, basic thing that is happening about our life. Life to me is a journey. Actually, if I read through the scriptures, especially I love the four gospels, especially the book of John. John chapter 16 is basically the way I interpret it for my own life, beginning, like chapter 16, beginning of verse 17 to 25 is basically to me, I call it life as a journey. I'm not going to go through that scripture, but that's what I'm going to refer to. When I say life is a journey, there's an up and down, there's a pothole. So road is not always smooth. You may used to American road is smooth, pretty much. You have a little bumpy road, you complain nonstop. Every time I rode in a car with some of the friends around America when they take me out from the airport. So basically my home is between the airport, a home of somebody. I love to stay with people. I don't like hotel. But if they have no choice, they don't like me, they put me in a hotel. If they do like me, they put me in the home. So I just love people. I just love to spend time. But between airport and the hotel is the one pothole. Man, I don't know where the Christianity is gone from that person. Why don't the city fix the road? I say, well, you should be thankful. You go to my country. There's pothole bigger than that, and it's nonstop. It's actually, there's flood going on in Cambodia at the moment. So every highway and byway is washed away by the flood. My wife is having difficulty commuting between one spot to the next. And more than 200 people die in the last 2 weeks because of the flood. And they continue to have disease and illness and stuff. So life is a journey. It's just like pothole. I remember when I went to meet with the Khmer Rouge general up north when I was having an appointment. I'm not going to go through all this. There's so much to talk about. But when God is open door, it's not that simple and easy. I was basically, when I receive a phone call from a secretary of a Khmer Rouge commander-in-chief of the military, General Tit, say he's expecting you tomorrow. I've been praying for more than 10 years that God will give me an opportunity to go and witness to the Khmer Rouge, especially Pol Pot himself, a dictator. And when, it's a very dangerous prayer. When I pray and God answer my prayer. When God answer my prayer, I receive this phone call, say, General Tit, expecting you. You know what I told God? I say, God, maybe someone else named Sitan, but it's not me. Somebody called the wrong number, or maybe No, I was scared. I was full of fear. I really don't want to go. I pray for it, but when God answered my prayer, I don't want to go. Because, you know why? Because I live in the killing field for 4 years, and I know what it's like. And the person on the other line, when they told me, said, if the general liked you, you're going to walk out alive. But if the general don't like you, somebody going to have to carry you out dead. That was the condition. So I said, Lord, maybe someone else named Seetan. That was not me, you know. And I was frustrated. I have a second thought, a third, a fourth, a 200th thought about it, you know, whether should I accept the appointment or should I not. But yet, you know, God comfort me, and a sense of peace is coming, flowing. So I have to commute 17 hours across the military path to see the general. There's 2 million landmines in between, people dying left and right. And here I've been escorted by 2 soldiers to go see the Khmer Rouge general. And I know the condition. And so a couple times, you know, the soldier went ahead of me with a 50cc motorcycle. And then they all disappeared all of a sudden. I couldn't see them. You know why? Because the pothole was so big. So they went into the pothole. And then all of a sudden they pop up. And then they looked to the back, they didn't see me. They thought I escaped. But actually, we go through the pothole. So life is there's a pothole in our life. So life is a journey, not always smooth. But remember, when we pass that pothole, we're going to go to a smooth road somehow. So those are just something for you to think about tonight. I've gone through a huge, big pothole for 4 years. 1975, when Pol Pot took over the country of Cambodia. He turned the country upside down, and Cambodia, known before as a little Paris of Asia, until 1975, Cambodia now known to the whole world as the killing field. It's not a very beautiful name. I don't like it. That's why I named one of the books that I wrote is called Miracle in the Forgotten Land. I rather call the Forgotten Land than the Killing Field. It's the same thing, but I like it better. And the reason I call the Forgotten Land, because I know for the fact that, humanly speaking, they forgot Cambodia. But in God's business, He never forgot us. And thank God, because He remembers us, I'm still alive tonight. So, when Pol Pot took over, 1975, everyone is being evacuated out of the city. And I was not excluded. And the first day, Pol Pot ordered everyone who educated to basically go to their respected school, respected university, put on their school uniform. They used a propaganda and such that King Norodom Sihanouk, beloved king, is returning home. So we need to postpone the Cambodian New Year. We need to go and welcome them. So when people believed that propaganda, so they went and put on their school uniform. I didn't. The reason I didn't do it, I was a medical student at the time, and the youngest in the University of Medicine. I was only 16 years old, 16 and a half. So I'm already 3 years into a medical school. And so instead of put on the school uniform, I went home and put on the worst possible clothes I can find in the closet. Actually, I end up using the one that my older brother used to clean the floor. The reason I do that, because it's right before the propaganda come on the radio and the television. One of my best friends was shot and killed by the Khmer Rouge. And because of that, and he didn't do anything wrong. He's only talked back. They label us as enemy of the revolution. And my friend is a charismatic type of person. So his response was that, I don't even know you. I didn't even do anything wrong with you. Why you call me enemy? Bang, bang, bang. So he was dead. And because of that, I don't trust anything whatsoever Pol Pot said. So the next 4 years, I lived in the killing field of Cambodia. I was put in a youth concentration camp. We'd been enslaved in the very first day as we got out of the city. And there's 3 rules. that the Khmer Rouge told us. By the way, before I know the rule, they label us with a different criteria and title. They label us as a slave. So they say, you are no longer free, you are now slave. And there's three rules that come along with it. It could be a couple hundred rules, but the revolution is very gracious to give you only three. Number one, you should not ask any question. Number two, you should not show any of your emotion. Number three, if you do any of those two, you'd be dead. So that's a tough rule for a slave. Nobody wanted to be a slave. It was shock. Several girls among us, it was in a youth camp, were screaming just like typical girls, oh, daddy, mommy, I'm scared. You know what they do? They show their emotion. So the Khmer Rouge soldier grabbed a hold of them. They went with their bayonet and grabbed a hold of their hair and pulled them to the front, used their evil finger, poke out their eyeball, and pour acid on it, pull their fingernail and pour acid, and they tortured those several girls until they died in front of us. And then they came on and it says, you get the lesson. You get the message. You are no longer free. You are a slave. So, ladies and gentlemen, being a slave was not simple. It was not cool. So it's a very rough and tough thing. So the next 4 years, we live under that condition as a slave. We've been forced to work 20 hours a day on starvation diet. 2 years into the killing field in my youth camp, a population started with 1,000, reduced to only 350. Where the other gone? They all die. And then the next 2 years, so 2 years into it, the following 2 years, there's the time that I escaped Cambodia. There's only 87 left out of those 1,000. So I'm one of the 87 that survived that youth camp. So there's a rough, rough life. So every time that I go to sleep, I was thinking of freedom. I'm craving for freedom, just like someone who, say, addicted to cigarette or addicted to alcohol. They're craving for cigarette or alcohol. I was craving for freedom. I couldn't wait to experience another minute of freedom even. I'm not even thinking of years of freedom. I'm thinking of minute of freedom. I will make the most of it. Until I came out of Cambodia in 1977 in the middle of the killing field when the population only 350. The Khmer Rouge beginning to start searching for those who educated, who left in the camp. And they find out that I was one of the medical students and four other was high school students. So they tie us in the rope, drip off our clothes and blindfold, and I was the last in line. They begin to slaughter one at a time, so the four kids in front of me die with a bamboo rod hit on their necks. When my turn come, I begin to pray to an unknown God. At this time, I was the end of my rope, but I was not the end of my hope. I have a little tiny bitty hope left, so I pray to the unknown God, hear what my prayer was. Lord of the universe, whoever you are, please spare my life, and I promise to be your witness. And the moment I do that prayer, the executioner is already ready to pull his trigger. So his bamboo rod was about to come because the other guy, four guys dead already. Their blood was all over my body. And then here's my turn. And then it was coming, and it's come very close, and I hear the voice come from behind, stop, stop, stop! It was a Khmer Rouge leader who ordered the execution, asking the executioner to stop. And this guy did his very best, so he come this close to my left ear, and then, poof, come to the air. And then I'm still alive today. Thank God that nobody know anything about C. Tan Lee at that time. But there's one person who was there for me, with the Lord of the universe himself. So he spared my life. And I continued to live the next 2 years struggling with the Khmer Rouge. They forced me to do irrigation plan, which is another story. It's wrote by the Rocky Mountain News here in Colorado, 12-part serious article on the front cover page of the Rocky Mountain News called The Healing Field. You can Google and go look for it, and it's still there. Rocky Mountain News not exists anymore, but the article is there. And this has come from the secular perspective to basically to prove my testimony in Cambodia. So I continued to live the next 2 years in the killing field and finish what I've been ordered to do, which is the irrigation system, oversee the whole project, and it's still there today. One of the best irrigation in the country. People who own the farmland in that area are very prosper at the moment. So the next 2 years, I finish all my job, and then it's time to escape. And when I escaped in the middle of the jungle, I met a man in the jungle. Came out, long hair, pretty ugly looking. He just grabbed a hold of both of my shoulder and pushed me down all the way to the ground. He looked pretty scary. I don't believe I look any better than him, but I like to think I look better than him. But he pushed me down, and hear what the message he gave me. He said, "Young man, do you know the Lord of the universe? His name is Jesus Christ. One step forward, you and I may step on the landmine. We both got killed, and we're going to go to hell. But if you believe in Jesus, the Lord of the universe, if one step forward, if you and I die with the landmine, we're going to go to heaven." Do you like that kind of evangelist? I think if you do that in the city of Denver, they're going to slap your face. But when this guy did that to me, I would surrender. My brain went back 2 years backward. So I rewind my memory at the name of the Lord of the universe. When I need him in the critical moment of my life, he answered my prayer. And now his name revealed to me through this guy, a fellow countryman, who tried to escape the killing field. So I received Jesus in the middle of the jungle before I reached to Thailand. And we continue our journey together. And 2 days later, we was reunited, this jungle man and myself. And he gave me an assignment to do, is to go and preach the gospel. Now, I look at him 2-3 times, and I hear the word I said to him. I said, "Sir, you think you are crazy?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Well, if you're crazy, go away from me. I don't want you in my life." This is the guy who introduced me to Jesus. He said, he gave me a huge big smile. He said, "Yes, I'm crazy. That's why I want you to be crazy like me." I said, "Crazy like you? No!" I said, "Sir, you don't understand. I've only known Jesus 2 days ago. I never heard of that name before. I don't have any clue about him except that his name was the Lord of the universe, and he spared my life. Now you tell me to go and preach the gospel. Are you crazy?" He said, "Yes, I am crazy. I'm crazy about that Lord of the universe. I'm crazy about Jesus. I want you to go and tell our fellow countrymen, because we don't even know, we are uncertain about our life. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next hour. We are refugees." I said, "Well, so what do you want me to do?" He said, "Go and ask people, you want to be saved. If the people, if the person not their head, then you tell them, Jesus saved." I said, "Is that all?" He said, "Yes, that's all you need to do. You understand?" He's rough. I said, "Yes, sir." So I went and started doing that. Got an old man. He can barely walk. And I said, Grandpa, can you hear me?" "Yeah." "Do you want to be saved, Grandpa?" "Yeah." "Jesus saved, Grandpa?" "Yeah, I want Jesus." So I got him. I go and saw a lady, can barely walk. She was starving, just got out of the killing field. I said, "Grandma, yeah? You want to be saved?" "Yeah." Jesus saved. I won him. So I got two. I go to another person, another person, another person, 32 people. I ask, that's all I ask. You want to be saved? And they do. I don't even know how to lead them to Christ. So I ask them to line up behind me. Let's parade to see this jungle man. So we went and saw the guy and say, sir, I got 32 people who want to be saved. What do you want to do? So, praise God. So, we led 32 people to Christ. And every time he asked them to repeat the prayer after him, you know what? I did the same. Honestly, I didn't want Jesus to leave me. I want him. I'm not suggesting you do the same. But I really don't want to lose him. Because Galatians 5:1 said, it is for freedom, Christ come and set us free. Therefore, stand firm and do not let the yoke of slavery take you back. I don't know about you, I'm not going to go back. I don't want to be a slave again. That's not easy. That's very rough. It's very tough. Let alone when that day comes. If you're being a slave without Jesus, man, the Bible said there's a flame of fire. It's not one night, it's not one hour, but throughout eternity. No way, I'm not going to go there. I've been through 4 years in a killing field. That's long enough. Let alone to be in the flame of fire in hell throughout eternity. That's a no-no. I don't want to go there. I want to go to heaven. So this is what the power of God can do. What the power of God can do. Using a man like me who don't know nothing about the scripture. Thank God nobody asked me about theological question. A Christian doctrine. I'm going to get totally lost. I have no clue. You know, better yet, when I arrive here in Aurora, Colorado, I thought, wow, I have plenty of salt to eat, ladies and gentlemen. Look down from the plane, there's salt out there, white stuff. November 1980. Man, I told my wife, honey, look, we got plenty of salt. In Cambodia killing field, we didn't have any salt. Look, there's a lot of salt out there. And we didn't have proper clothes. We didn't have coat or jacket or anything. And my clothes was torn apart. Barely have anything on. Come out of the plane, I was, well, this salt is cold. And it turned out to be what they call snow. That's how we came. We came to this country. We have no idea. Nobody ever tell us anything about the little white stuff out there. We end up sleep at Stapleton Airport overnight because they won't let us out. Snowstorm in Colorado. So God brought us all the way here. And we didn't even know the next 6 months, we continue to do the ministry in the refugee camp. There are a total of 35,000 people come to Christ. Through a person like me and several other young men and women who know nothing about the Bible in the past. And our pastor, a jungle man became our pastor. He didn't even have a copy of the Bible himself. He memorized scripture, so every single day he asked us to go and see him with a piece of paper and pencil. And he will recite one scripture verse a day to us and explain what it means and ask us to go and disciple those who we led to the Lord. And I preach the word of God every day with one scripture verse. And I thank God. When I finished seminary in Denver Seminary, in Colorado Christian University, in Columbia University, all of those kind of university, I thought, yay, I got some degree. I know the Bible. So I went back to Cambodia. And then one of the missionary, imagine this, missionary from Burma. When I was there getting married with my wife, he was the one who's sort of a father, spiritual father. He was taking picture for us and stuff like that. We didn't have any money. So he's doing all those kind of stuff, and he gave us like one bottle of Coke. That was our wedding present. We got a Coke, so we have to share, me and my wife. I got a Coke, and then after that, one of the pastors said, oh, I'm thirsty. Can I have some too? So one bottle with about 10 people. So we got That's in my wedding gift. And we thank God for that. Anyway, he went all the way to Cambodia looking for me. That was about 10 years ago. And we found each other. And then he said, Sitan, you know what? I brought a tape. I record your message when you was a little assistant pastor in Thailand in 1979. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I record your message. I was scared. You know, I just finished seminary. I know the theology. I know the doctrine. I don't want to hear what I talked that time. I thought that was crazy. I'm not... Oh, that's going to be a wrong teaching then. I was scared. I thought, I don't know what I was teaching. I was preaching about. But he said, you want to listen? And I start taking it, and I told my wife, don't come with me. I want to, you know, I have to go to a good Walmart to looking for a little cassette player because it's an old cassette player. And got it, and I told my wife, stay there. He said, why? I want to listen too. I said, no. I don't want to get myself embarrassed. I want to listen by myself. She said, no, can I come? So we listened together. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I wish I preached that good now. Because the Holy Spirit was preaching, it was not me. That, I wonder why 35,000 people come to Christ. Dr. Jerry Falwell went over there, witnessed. All the thing is happening. And put on old gospel hour. And I saw myself on an old-time gospel hour on television here in America. I said, it looked like me. It was me. So anyway, that was a long time ago. But this is the power of the gospel. God is doing wonderful things. And then I continued to leave the next, you know, our brother only gave me 4 hours tonight, so I'm sorry. I only have half hour. Now I have 3.5 hours more to do. So, back to the killing field. When I went back to the killing field, and, you know, when I accept the Lord, preach the gospel in Thailand, and begin to preach, I'm responsible with 7 churches. Those who I led to the Lord is about 6,000-7,000 that I personally lead to the Lord. I'm responsible to disciple them and also preach to them on a daily basis, not just Sunday. Because in the camp, we have nothing to do. So we come and worship every day. I was struggling for like one full month. The reason I was struggling was not something that somebody done to me, but with the scripture words that my pastor quote to me. After the very first scripture he quoted to me was Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom Christ come and set me free. But the second scripture he quoted to me was Galatians 6:10. And Galatians 6:10 said, therefore, when you have freedom, you must do good to all men, especially those who belong to the family of believers. I was struggling with that. I actually asked, bargained that thing with my pastor. I said, Pastor, I don't understand. Are you sure you quoted the right scripture? You sure you have a good memory? He said, yes. He said, why? I said, because I don't like Galatians 6:10. I like Galatians 5:1. Because Christ willing to sacrifice his own life, the glory place that he lived in heaven to come down to save a stinky man like me who never have soap, shampoo, who never brushed my teeth for 4 years, never cut my hair, never changed my clothes. I'm very stink, and he's willing to give up everything to come and just to save me and to set me free. I like that scripture. I was struggling for 3 hours before I received that scripture, but I did receive it finally, and I appreciate God for that. But I don't appreciate Galatians 6:10. You know why I don't? Because Galatians 6:10, it says basically, well, now I save you, Satan. You are free now. So go do good to your enemy. Go do good to Pol Pot. Go do good to Khmer Rouge, because the Bible said, therefore, when you have opportunity as a free man and woman, you go do good to all men, that's including the Khmer Rouge. I said, that's no. What kind of God is that? He wants me to go and do good to the Khmer Rouge. What kind of God is that? Pastor, I think you are wrong. Pastor broke to tears. Said, I'm not wrong. I said, that's okay. I'm sorry. I trouble you. You just relax, Pastor. I'm going to deal with God. I know how to do it. 2 years ago, when I was critically almost died in the hand of the executioner, the Khmer Rouge, I prayed to the Lord of the universe. I don't even know him. I asked him to save my life, and he did it so good. And I thank him for that. This time, I'm going to go back to him, Pastor. Just relax, Pastor. Don't worry. I know how to deal with God. He liked to talk to me. So I go and just say, Lord, you remember me? Sitan here. Bye-bye. Hello. You remember me? Yeah, you saved my life, God. God smiled at me. I said, dear Lord, you know what? My pastor thinks he's right. He quotes Galatians 6:10, said, it is now that I have freedom. As a free man, I should go do good to all men, especially those who belong to the family of God. That one is a piece of cake. But the first part was not easy. God, can you do me a favor? Can you chain Galatians 6:10, please? Will you do that, God? And then I would say, thank you, God. You like me. I like you. You are awesome. You don't mean that, right, God? So I go to sleep very well. I woke up, I ran to my pastor and asked him to quote Galatians 6:10. Same old one coming. Every day for 30 days, I do that. Finally, my pastor, the day number 30, when I go to him, this guy was like I never seen before. He was crying like a baby. As I approached him, this pastor, poor pastor, he was crying like a baby. I said, Pastor, why are you crying? Oh, Sitan, I know. I know you're going to come and ask me to quote Galatians 6:10. Sitan is a Cambodian man, is an Asian man. I can lose my life, but I will not lose my faith. I said, what do you mean? He said, I was hiding. Please forgive me. I was hiding from you. You know what, Sitan? I too struggle with Galatians 6:10. I say, why don't you tell me 30 days ago? He said, you know what, Sitan? I was newly wet before Khmer Rouge come. I was newly wet, and the Lord had blessed me and my wife with a little baby. And Pol Pot took it away from my head, my beloved wife and infant baby. They killed in front of me. They tied me in a rope and drowned me in the Mekong Delta. How can my God tell me to go and do good to the Khmer Rouge? I cannot do that. I should have told you 30 days ago, but I struggle just like you are. I say, I'm sorry, Pastor. I'm sorry. We both cried together. But he said, I have a good news for you. I said, I want to know what is the good news. Quickly tell me, Pastor. And then he said, you know, as I struggled last night, I couldn't sleep not even 1 second, Sitan. I didn't sleep at all. I know I owe you one thing. Big. I need to answer your question about Galatians 6:10. As I struggle and my God is giving me Romans chapter 8, verse 35, I said, quickly give it to me. What is that? What is that? And then he started quoting, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble, can hardship, can persecution, can famine or nakedness or danger? I said, wow, praise God. I become charismatic right away. I have no clue what charismatic means. But I was dancing. Yes, yes, I like it. I like it. And ladies and gentlemen, the only hymn we know at that time, my pastor, I think he's a lousy singer, nothing compared to our brother here. He's one of the most lousy singers in the world I ever met. And the only song he knows, Oh Happy Day. You remember those old songs, Oh Happy Day? Yeah, but when I sing Oh Happy Day, my faith is the saddest person on earth. But I still sing, Oh Happy Day, Oh Happy Day. But that day, I was not doing that. I was, oh, happy day. I was real happy, and the church was going crazy. I said, church, are you ready? Church, are you ready? And they said, yes, amen. What do you have for us? I said, you ready? Get your pencil. Get your paper ready. I got a new scripture. It's a promise of God. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble? Can hardship? Can persecution? The word persecution come and I identify someone in the audience was sitting there. I knew exactly who she was. She was sitting there and her face just like a dead meat when she saw me. She recognized me. It was a young lady who was in charge of my youth concentration camp. It was a young lady the very first day on April 17 slaughtered my grandma and grandpa. It was a young lady who killed my brother. It was a young lady who killed my uncle, my aunt. Total 38 people in the hand of that young lady. It was a lady who buried me alive to my chest for two nights. It was a lady who ordered the execution of my life. Who's a lady who's responsible for killing more than 900 people in my youth camp. What a coincidence. God is giving me Romans 8:35. And I was ready to preach, and I'm preaching, and she was sitting there. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't go on with my sermon. I saw a lady, and then I was struggle. And then my flesh was talking to me. Satan, look at me. Yes, what you want me to do? Get rid of that lady. Make sure she stopped breathing. And then you can come back and ask your wonderful God to forgive you so you can finish your wonderful sermon from Romans 8:35. You know what I told my flesh? You are awesome! You are good! That's what I was ready to do. I want to go and grab her necks and break her necks. When I was ready to do that, there's a voice come from above, too powerful for me to comprehend. Hear what it said. Satan, you are in trouble. When I heard that voice, ladies and gentlemen, that was the first time and last time in my entire life since I was born on this earth. It's too powerful for me, so I surrender. I said, who are you? Who are you? And I realized it was God spoken to me. And he has said, Lord, take control over me. I was screaming and the church was going crazy. Lord, take control over me. And just like lightning, ladies and gentlemen, he removed the spirit of bitterness, the spirit of anger, the spirit of revenge out of me and replaced with the spirit of love, mercy and compassion and the power of forgiveness. I look at the girl one more time. Tears start coming in, and the piece of paper that written down Romans 8:35 was wet. And then I began to walk to her, kneel down in front of her, hold her hand. She was frightening, and the whole church was going crazy. I have no idea. Hear what I said to her. My dear sister, please don't be afraid. God has forgiven me, therefore he wants me to forgive you for all that you have done to my family and me and my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment I forgave that girl, I was set free. I was completely set free. And then I came back and I finished the sermon. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble? Can hardship? Can persecution? Can famine? Can nakedness and danger? No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us. That was my sermon. Then I say, come as you are and receive him. Estimated about over 100 people that day ran to the front. And the first person that got to the front was that lady, my number one enemy, and became my sister in Christ. I was so privileged to hold her hand one more time and lead her, walk her step by step to receive Christ. Up until this day, I have never met her again. I have no idea she's still alive or she's dead. I have no idea, but all I knew that God made the situation in such so that I can forgive the Khmer Rouge. And then I asked God, God, forgive me for my stupid prayer request to change Galatians 6:10. Now give me, Paul, give me the Khmer Rouge. I will give them nothing but the best of the best. I will give them Jesus that will last them throughout eternity. And through that, God honored that prayer. So I was able to go see General Ted. I was able to see brother number two and brother number three, and now in a court of law, Mr. Kilsom Pan and Nun Chia. I never met Paul Pot. When I got there, he's dead already. So I met the military general who's in charge of 35,000 army, the one who's responsible for killing 3.5 million people. I met with General Ted. After 20 minutes, the Holy Spirit led him to the Lord, and the civil war in Cambodia come to an end. I had privilege to sit between General Ted and Mr. Hun Sen, who's current Prime Minister of Cambodia, and reconcile the two. And I became friends of King Norodom Sihanouk until he passed away last year. So we become a buddy, dinner buddy. So I eat free meal at the palace all the time. And then I become friend with President Chia Sim, who's been introduced to me by the late King Sihanouk. And all of that because God is the one who do. The United Nations brought peacekeeping force to Cambodia in 1993, spent $4.5 billion, tried to bring peace and stability to the country, and the best they can do is bring HIV to our nation. Let's go to another story. That's why we have Women's Center, Trade School, rescue those girls from prostitution. Those are the things that God is giving us the opportunity. And the only thing God needs from you and me is obedience. When you send the calling of the Lord, just obedient to that call. Let flesh go away. Flesh is dangerous. But allow the Holy Spirit to do. According to Romans chapter 8, verse 11, I believe, that the same Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, it dwells within you and me. So the same power who can have power to even raise Christ from the dead, it's made available for you and me to use it. It's just a matter of you and me to use it or not. Allow him to do it. If you don't, it's up to you. But if you allow him to do it, great thing gonna happen. God can use young, can use old, can use men, can use women. He can use anybody. And you can stand in front of the king. When I met the king, it was not easy. I was in handcuffs and chained. And that in the morning, but in the afternoon, I become his friend. And he had to make tailor-made clothes for me because I'm wearing prison clothes. Smell stink. So I'm sting again all over. Coming back from America nice and clean, go back to prison, sting again. But the king make me clean again, king of Cambodia, and become friend and have dinner with him. So that was all of those things is happening only you surrender to God. We can't take any glory for that. Isaiah 48 make it very clear. God himself said, I will not share my glory with anybody. But I will give you the blessing. That's good enough for you and me. The blessing of the Lord is more than enough. So we don't need glory. Amen? God bless you.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.